Hello everyone, you're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
भगवति गंगे त्रिभुवन तारिणी तरल तरंगे देवी सुरेश्वरी भगवति गंगे त्रिभुवन तारिणी तरल तरंगे शंकर मौली विहारिणी विमले मम मदिरासां तव पद कमले अलकानंदे परमानंदे गुरु करुणामय कातरवंगे तव तट निकटे यस्य निवास खलु वैकुंठे तस्य निवास
Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Ricky Cage, Ganga, Grammy Award winner, and my wonderful brother, who I got to spend some good quality time with in India when we organized the Global Summit on the environment and spirituality, and Ricky's traveling around the world using his music as a means of educating us and raising the awareness about the environment. So if you have some time, please Google Ricky Cage, K-E-J. He's got a lot of beautiful music out there, and that one was all about the Ganga and the importance of us keeping it clean and healthy, because it has been the source of breath not only throughout India, but definitely for the world too. There's so many people that actually capture the water from the Ganges and bring the water of the Ganges back with them, whether it's in America or in Europe, and share that with people. They claim it actually makes your life feel a whole lot better. Thank you for joining us. It's always my honor that you could take the time out of your busy life, something that's so important for us nowadays, to just settle. Or if you're in the car, or if you're going from meeting to meetings, or if you are still caught up in stuff that really needs you to just hear something that elevates you and evolves you, please, I just want you to know, I so appreciate you. I appreciate you. The new year is upon us, and we are almost 2 weeks into the new year, and it feels like the world has given us so much already. We really are being called to amplify our power to remain unshakable in the midst of consistent changes. And the irony about change is that it is the inevitable. And the interesting opportunity about change is that it gives us signals to see how much we are attached to our stories, our lives, the events that take place, or are we living a life of freedom? Are we living our true self? Are we really living the essence of spirit, the essence of the soul? Well, let's turn to Dr. Debbie Silber, who is the president and CEO of Debbie Silber Companies, LLC, and she's also the founder of the PBT Institute. Dr. Silber is a recognized health, mindset, empowerment, and personal development expert and author of the Amazon number one best-selling book, The Unshakable Woman, 4 Steps to Rebuilding Your Body, Mind, and Life After a Life Crisis, as well as 2 books recommended by Brian Tracy, Marshall Goldsmith, Jack Canfield, and many more. Debbie has contributed to Fox News, CBS, Dr. Oz, and much more. Today it's my joy to welcome my wonderful sister, Debbie Silber, to the air. Hi, Debbie. Happy New Year.
Hi.
Lots of good wishes.
Happy New Year. Looking forward to our chat.
Me too. I understand that you have created a multi-pronged approach to help women prevent or heal from a life of crisis, especially the trauma of betrayal. What is the trauma of betrayal really like, and how widespread is it amongst women?
Oh, unfortunately, it's extremely common, and it was actually my own betrayals that catapulted me into a PhD program in transpersonal psychology, the psychology of transformation and human potential. I was obsessed with transformation because I was doing it, my clients. I just wanted to study it further. So it was time to do a study, and I studied how women experience betrayal, what holds them back, what helps them heal. And we actually made 3 groundbreaking discoveries during that study, which I'm just so blessed and thrilled to share.
Please share. I'd love to hear it.
Sure. Well, the first one was that there's a collection of symptoms so common to betrayal, it's become known as post-betrayal syndrome. It's a physical, mental, and emotional collection. And I actually have a quiz on my site just to see to what extent is someone still struggling. You know, I also had a feeling that healing from betrayal is very different than healing from other types of life crises, death of a loved one, disease. I had been through all of them, and I knew it was different, but I didn't want to assume. So I brought it back out to my study participants, and sure enough, they all agreed too. It's very different because of the attack to the self and because betrayal is so intentional. So it absolutely is different. So instead of it being called post-traumatic growth, which is the upside, you know, what you've gained because of your trauma, a new perspective, a new awareness, we needed a new name because there are all those areas of the self that has to be rebuilt and healed. So I coined a new term, post-betrayal transformation. That's what PBT is, the PBT of PBT Institute. Yeah. And it's incredible what happens when we do heal physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And the most exciting discovery was, you know, I remember going into this saying how there are the stages of grief. You know if you're in one stage, hang on, this stage is coming. I said, if there could be stages of healing from betrayal, what a comfort would that bring to people? And sure enough, we discovered that while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, if we're going to heal, we will go through five proven predictable stages. And what's even more exciting is now we know what happens at every stage and what it takes to move from one stage to the next.
Okay, Dr. Silber, so definitely we as women have tend to get this stigma, we're the weaker gender, and we know we're not physically.
No.
Yet to lift heavy things, yes, if we haven't built our muscles. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it always baffles me that we're like the doormat for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids, the husbands, the uncles, the brothers. And yet there is a definite natural innate power in us all. You've spoken about, you've mentioned that there are five things, five aspects in which you can, I don't know, either overcome betrayal or recognize the signs. Could you elaborate on those five things? At least give us a few.
Oh, sure. I can walk you through the five stages. And I just to comment on what you said, as women, we're so conditioned to putting ourselves last, and we'll take care of ourselves if and when there's any time left. But of course, once we've taken care of everything else, the people that we love, our work, whatever we're doing within our community, that's when we'll focus on ourselves. And of course, there's no time left there. And what I found with every single woman in my study, including myself, it was this. I'll walk you through the five stages. The first was by no means judgment, blame. I saw it with everyone, including myself. And this was sort of a setup phase where if you imagine four legs of a table, the four legs being mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, what I saw with every single woman was we were so busy leaning on the physical and the mental legs, let's say, and neglecting the emotional and the spiritual. And imagine, you know, if there's a table with only two legs, it's easy to topple over, and that's what I saw. Now, also, what was so interesting about this was when we're neglecting the emotional and the spiritual, we've turned down our intuition. And that's why so many of us are so blindsided by betrayal, because we say, I had no idea my co-worker was presenting the project behind my back. I had no idea my partner was having an affair. I had no idea my parent or sibling would ever do something like this. And it's because we've turned down our intuition. So that's the first stage. The second stage is, this is the most terrifying. Here's the shock. Here's where you just, you're blindsided. And this is the breakdown of the body, the mind, the worldview. And what happens is you are now, you have ignited the stress response. So you are creating, symptoms, illnesses, conditions, disease. Your body is in a complete, you're so afraid. There's such fear. You're just in a state of alarm. Your mind in this place of confusion, overwhelm, brain fog. You can't wrap your head around this. It's so difficult to conceptualize.
So one second. On the second one, the fear develop, it's impacting the well-being of the body is what you're saying. You're saying one of the mistakes we make is we turn down our intuition. The second one is?
Yeah, it's that. Well, stage two is the breakdown of the body, the mind, the world.
Oh, breakdown of body. Yeah, I've seen that. Seen it in my own mom.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
go
that's
ahead.
What
and
happens.
The third one? And the third one?
Yeah. Well, you know, because think about it. If the people you trust the most prove untrustworthy, you know, who do you trust? When the ones you'd run to when other people are causing harm are, in fact, the ones causing the harm, where do you go? So it's so frightening. And there's this breakdown of the worldview. You know, the worldview is how we view the world based on a set of rules. You know, where I can trust this person, this is safe, this is unsafe, and we create a world based around that. So now, in this stage two, there's a breakdown of everything we've known to believe in. Yet
this is stage three, though,
hasn't.
Right? The breaking down
no,
of the
no,
worldview.
No, no, no. This is
okay. This is still
two. This is stage two. So you know, the world as you've known it is broken down, shattered, and a new worldview hasn't been created yet. So you can imagine how terrifying this is. This is where the bottom drops out under you. But think about it. If the bottom were to drop out from under you, you would do whatever you could to stay alive. And that's what stage three is. Stage three is survival instincts emerging. This is an extremely practical stage. This is, if you can't help me get out of my way, where will I live? How will I feed my kids? How do I survive this experience? Who can I speak with? So the stress response is still ignited. You're still in a state of panic, a state of fear. You're still breaking down the body. Once you've figured out, okay, I can, let's say, live here. I can speak to this person. I can pay my bills this way. Whatever it is you needed to figure out. You move into slowly. And I'll tell you, this is a very, stage three is an extremely common stage to be stuck in for life.
Really?
If we
the
don't,
stage of survival?
Oh, yeah.
But aren't we just naturally wired to survive?
But this
is that
all
a bad
we're trying
thing?
To do here. Yeah, that's not a bad thing at all. But we're not interested in our self-care, self-love, healing. We don't have the bandwidth because all we're trying to do is survive. And we can't create from a place of survival because there's so much fear. Yeah, so
let's go to stage four now. Tell me what is the stage four one.
So once we know we can survive, we can feel a little bit safer, we move into stage four, which is a new normal, finding and creating a new normal. Your old normal doesn't exist anymore. It's not an option. You're creating a new normal. And it's as if you've ever moved, house, condo, apartment, office, your new place isn't comfortable yet. It's not yours. It doesn't feel homey and comfortable, but you know it's okay. And when you feel a little safer, you tell the stress response, we can at least slow down. We don't have to create damage anymore. We don't have to create health at this point, but at least we're not creating more damage. And once we've made that new normal, we've accepted that new normal, we've made peace with that new normal, we've found meaning in our experience, we move into the fifth and most beautiful stage, and this is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. The body begins to heal. The mind begins to heal. We have a new set of beliefs and worldview based on what we've experienced. And that table that we only had the two legs strengthened, the mental and the physical in the beginning, now we're paying attention to the emotional and the spiritual too. We are solidly grounded.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So, wow. So we've been through a lot, huh? And the signs are all there. It's showing us. You've said that it's important that we not marinate in our stories. And sometimes we marinate more so in the stories that were of betrayal or of pain or of trauma. Is there any suggestions that you could offer our listeners to get more out of that pattern?
Oh, sure. And it's so common to do this. There's one thing you want to what's called ruminate. And ruminate is where you're trying to make sense and make meaning out of your experience. You don't want to marinate where you're stewing in it and you're just sitting in it. Because what happens is when you stay there for too long, you start believing that's where you need to be. And you start planting roots in that space. And you start making all kinds of deals with yourself. Well, this must be where I'm meant to be. I must deserve this. This must be where I belong. And then what happens is we have all of this secondary gain, which is that the ego comes in and says, oh, no. This is a powerful place to stay because look at all this. Look at all the self-pity you get here. Look at all the sympathy you get here. You don't have to do the hard work of rebuilding. You don't have to do the hard work of figuring out who you can trust and who you can't. Just don't trust anybody. So, we stay here for too long and we start building up a big case for ourselves. So one of the most powerful things you could do, it's called writing a coherent narrative. And this is, it's really where you're organizing and making your story, you're turning it into your life story and making it an important chapter of your story. So you're taking your trauma, whatever it is, and saying, what could be the benefit of this? And I know that sounds so crazy, but did it teach you not to have your boundaries crossed again? Did it teach you finally how worthy and deserving you are? Did it teach you, just a new set of rules or beliefs or behaviors? So you want to find what you can gain from this, because when you do, that lesson is learned. and you don't have to keep relearning it in the form of other types of traumas to try to get your attention.
Interesting. So you're recommending writing. Writing is a good way of healing. All right, so let's talk about your book, The Unshakable Woman, Four Steps to Rebuilding Your Body, Mind, and Life After a Life Crisis. So how is it doing? Are you on a book tour?
Well, actually, that was the book that was, that was more general to healing from any type of life crisis. This could be disease, divorce, death of a loved one, anything that creates for you a psychological earthquake where your, you know, where your life is compartmentalized into two camps, before it happened and after it happened. And it's really what you need to see and recognize in order to move forward from that. But what we're doing now is, the study was so profound on so many levels, so we're turning that into a book. And that's probably, it'll be, you know, I'd say hopefully by the end of the year, but that's coming.
Oh, beautiful. Glad to hear that. So The Unshakable Woman, what does it mean to be an unshakable woman? Because sometimes we tend to just suppress our feelings for the need of being strong in the eyes of everyone else. But deep down internally, we're shaking.
And there's something, you know, we're so afraid to crash. And I get it. We're so afraid of what these traumas will do. No doubt they are the hardest, most challenging aspects of life, but they are also the most transformative. Transformation doesn't happen unless you are absolutely willing to die to the life you've known. And I know that sounds really extreme, but it's so true, because if you keep bringing the same old version of you into whatever new venture, you can't help but keep recreating the old. So transformation happens when the... So the old the old version, the old scenario, the old whatever, marriage, whatever the old was, has to no longer exist.
You have to let go of the old story. You have to let go of how it used to be, how you wanted it, and you have to be present with, well, here's where I am, here's what I've got, but here's where I think I need to be.
You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, in the study, we always saw the same thing with the, you know, with the women who didn't heal. One of the reasons was always because they were unwilling to let go of their story.
Wow. So all the women that you researched and talked to, the only reason why those women did not heal is that they would not let go of the old story.
That was a big part of it. There were also, there were two more reasons too. Yeah, that was a huge, it was they were unwilling to let go of their story. The other was their betrayer, there were no consequences. So again, there was no death and rebirth. And that was another thing as well. And, or they chose to numb, distract, avoid anything, to not face, you know, what they were working through. Like the ones who just medicated because they couldn't deal with the pain. They didn't heal.
Well,
you know, so it was those three scenarios I saw that prevented healing.
How does a woman who is unshakable look like? How does she conduct her life?
You know, when she's going through her crisis, it is real. It is deep. She's feeling it. You know, there's that saying, we need to feel it to heal it. And it's so true. She is feeling it, and she's feeling it deeply. What she needs to do is reach out for support, and this is where we need it the most, and we're also the most hesitant to reach out and find that support. So it's crucial at this point, too. She's doing the best she can, but she's also having all kinds of physical, mental, and emotional symptoms because the body is not meant to handle this amount of stress. There's a good chance she crashes and burns. And she crashes and burns, but she rebuilds to something so much stronger, wiser, bolder, better than ever, than she's ever seen. These are the strongest women I've ever known, are the ones who've been there and back.
I know. I can imagine that. I know that for those who hold the pain and suffering for so long, it's like the body begins to show, I can't take anymore. You've got to release me. You've got to release me. That's fantastic. In closing, what advice would you leave with our listeners who, well, you've offered a lot. What advice would you give women today who are right at the cusp of really letting go of the past, but sometimes it just keeps pulling them back there and they just don't know what to do?
Yeah, I would say first take the quiz. I mean, that's just at pbtinstitute.com/quiz and see to what extent you are struggling with post-betrayal syndrome, because you can't change what you're unaware of. So when you, and the questions itself are very confronting. So see if there is an unhealed betrayal that's holding you back. But if you're holding yourself back from that crash, the crash needs to happen. Because it's only in that crash and only in that unknown and only in that unfamiliar can a new version of you be rebuilt and reborn.
And what's the website for our listeners to be able to take that quiz?
Sure. It's PBT, as in post-betrayal transformation, pbtinstitute.com/quiz.
Now, there's one thing that I don't think I actually asked you during our conversation.
Sure.
Did you go through a betrayal as well? Is this what was the genesis behind, you know, you feeling like I've got to heal myself in order for me to even begin to put my pen on paper to write about this topic?
Oh, absolutely. There was a family betrayal that just was so painful, and then I just didn't get the lesson I was supposed to learn. So 3.5 years ago, I found out my husband had an affair. And it destroyed me, ripped my heart out, and my I have 4 kids, and my life, my family, everything was just destroyed. But it was in that place that I said, okay, now it's my time. What do I need? What do I want? What's best for me? What's best for my children? What's best for my relationship? And I started transforming, and so did my husband. I guess when you lose everything that really matters to you, you wake up. And so did I. And through a long process, this is not the case for everybody, but we actually got remarried. So two totally new people. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so great to hear that. How powerful is that? I guess you had to go through that to find PBT so that you can help so many other women after this, right?
No, you know, and maybe it's selfish to say it wasn't enough that I saved my family and my marriage. I said, the injustice was eating me up alive, and I said, if I'm going to work through and make sense and make meaning out of this, I'm going to help as many women as I can.
Good for you. I really appreciate what you're doing. And you've got also a podcast, I believe.
We do, From Betrayal to Breakthrough. Yeah, so it's
wonderful.
From Betrayal to Breakthrough, and we're just, you know, we're new, but it's doing very well. I mean, we've hit a nerve here. This is a topic that so many women are challenged with, but we have a proven way to heal now, and we're certifying PBT support group hosts and practitioners, so this way all across the country women can get the support that they need in wherever, you know, whatever town they're in.
Now, would you recommend meditation, prayer, reflection as a part of the process of the healing from betrayal? Because we didn't talk about that either.
Oh, absolutely. And what I found, this was also an important part of the study, we gravitated towards a spiritual connection through healing from betrayal. And it was really for two reasons. One, we needed to feel a sense of connection. And the second reason was so interesting, but makes so much sense. We don't trust our betrayer. We don't trust ourselves, because how did we not see anything? So we reason, well, at least I could trust the universe, God, source, energy, something bigger. And so we moved towards spirituality for that reason. And this could be, even if we were religious, we moved towards the spiritual part of our religion. Or if we weren't religious at all, we moved towards spirituality. But I saw that with every single study participant.
So what about those women who tend to just suffer quietly, Deb, right? What happens to them, because maybe they don't feel they have anyone to talk to?
Yeah.
I mean, do they just have to take your quiz?
Well, you know what? They have to take the quiz, but I have a free Facebook group, Women Hacking Betrayal. I have the podcast.
Okay.
We have support groups just for this reason. And I'll tell you, I know, because I've been there. I know how you're so ashamed. You feel there's so much judgment. There's so much pity that you don't want any of that. And it's such an awkward, uncomfortable space. But in that vulnerability where you share, that's where your strength is going to come from. And, you know, for the first year, I didn't share my experience because I knew my friends loved him. They'd be so angry. And finally I did. And I, you know, it was terrifying. But once I did, I just felt so much stronger. And my husband called up all my friends and apologized and, you know, and
oh, wow.
has truly done, oh, and has done the work every single day with my kids, with me, with everybody around. But it's terrifying. But I know your healing comes from that place of vulnerability, and vulnerability is strength.
And, okay, even though I haven't gone through it, but I do sometimes feel that it's important for people in relationship to give each other a second chance. I've seen, you know, on occasions where, well, on many levels, yes, the betrayal is hard, especially if you're married with 2-3 kids after 10, 15, 20 years. You know, all those delusional thoughts that you begin to think, did he come home at night after he was with her? How many lies did he tell me? Was he really at work? What does she think of me? You know, all of those thoughts, doesn't that mm-hmm. make it really the pain more than just what he's done? Like, nobody knows really what happened. It could have been 4, 5, 10 encounters. It could have been, I don't know, a long-term relationship. But do you find that as human beings, children of God, we do make mistakes? What does a woman do when she mm-hmm. has to find the courage and the power to really forgive and just give them
yeah.
a second chance? You gave your husband a second chance, Deb.
Well, only because, you know, if you don't feel safe and valued, here's the way it works with forgiveness. When you feel safe and valued and you forgive, you feel better. When you do not feel safe and valued and you forgive, you feel worse. And, you know, one of the things is that is completely shattered is trust. So if your husband, wife, whatever, if your partner is unwilling to absolutely come clean and be completely honest and upfront at that
mm-hmm.
point, you can't build trust again. So it's brutal. And to what level, you'll have to decide this for yourself. But trust is priority. And if there's no apology, remorse, restitution, interest in trust being rebuilt, what are you building it on? You know, I remember seeing a forgiveness coach. I didn't even know they made those. and I remember seeing a forgiveness coach. And she said, you know, Debbie, usually you get married the first time, of course, for love, but safety and security. And then you get divorced. And then you're very interested in a marriage that where the intention is to help each other grow. And she said, never have I found a couple that has gone from one marriage to the next with the same two people. So in order to rebuild, I mean, for me personally, and I'm speaking from my own experience, if I saw or felt there was a cell of the old version of him, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't because why would I? Why would I?
Right.
And I also look at it and say, and I truly know the old me is no longer alive. That's not me anymore. The one who is just always about putting everybody else first and where my needs don't matter. And that version of me is gone. So who am I to say that the old version of him isn't gone? But that doesn't mean you don't have, in so many instances, PTSD symptoms and trust issues. And it takes time to rebuild.
Right.
And if your partner is truly remorseful mm-hmm. and interested in rebuilding, they'll do the work and you'll do it together.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You are speaking, mm-hmm. I think, on something that is so vital for a man and a woman. And
mm-hmm.
I wish you continued success in your work, Deb. Mm-hmm. And if you ever come into Washington, can we please do a program at the Meditation Museum on this topic?
I
think it would help so many women.
I'd love that. It would be an honor.
I'd love that. Okay, great. Let us know, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful year. All the very best. Many blessings.
You too.
Bye. Well, I took a lot from Dr. Debbie Silber, and if you'd like some more information, please go to thepbtinstitute.com and let's get over the experience of holding that betrayal inside of ourselves and making ourselves so weak. Did you all remember those steps? I know I remember turning down the intuition when you sort of block off your feelings and then the thing how you break down your body and then all the illnesses and stuff come, then you change your worldview because there's nobody that you can turn to trust. What else? Help me, everyone. The survival instinct that we shouldn't just be living only to survive. We should be living fully. And so please, for some more information on how to, you know, move beyond this element of betrayal, do check her out. I think it'll be very helpful for you. And she's got a new podcast out there too. So go to the PBTinstitute.com for more information on Dr. Debbie Silber. I loved her. I really did. I really, really loved it. Now, look, I haven't been betrayed in a physical relationship, so to speak, but I have felt betrayal in different ways, you know, where an authority didn't speak to me in the right way, didn't act in the right way. And I knew how condescending they looked and spoke to me, and I felt betrayed because they were in the role of authority. So maybe I have on that level, and it hurts. So I can imagine when you dedicate your life in a marriage with children, or even if you didn't get married but you have a domestic partner, you made a vow to one another. You made a soul contract with each other, but your lower vibration took you over. How do you heal that? I love how Debbie's husband rose to the occasion. So may more men begin to value their relationship with their wives and really step up to the game where they can actually get married twice all over again. I'm not going to end the show without bringing our wonderful Sister Geeta on the air to have her read us something that can keep us inspired. Sister Geeta, what have you got for us?
Good morning and Om Shanti. That was a wonderful presentation, thanks to God. Wonderful, Sister Jenna. You are indeed God's special server. And the lady you interviewed is also good, thanks to God. Okay, so let's talk about companion for God. Om Shanti is a greeting of peace, remembering that we are souls. And originally we were peaceful and loving and blissful and all of these good things. Now, let's talk about the one, God, as my everything. There is only one God, and He is the Father, the teacher, the Sadguru, the friend of all of us. And so, in one sense, we are all one big, happy family. He is like an ocean of love, an ocean of peace, an ocean of purity, ocean of joy. He's the ocean of knowledge. He knows everything. He understands and knows everything. And His deepest wish for all of us is for us to get back to our state of purity, where we're free from suffering and free from sorrow. He is very sweet, very kind, very subtle. As a father, a mother, a friend, a teacher, He is everything to us. And His love for everyone, however we are, whatever we are, whatever we have done or haven't done, because this being, God the Supreme, who has been given over 108 names and is so egoless, He responds to all of them. He is going to purify all of us as souls, yeah? So let's try and remember this ourselves as souls. We're spiritual beings, and the bodies are our costume. He resides in a place of total, total silence. And for those of us who have experienced it, oh my goodness, we can't wait to get back there. Knowing that we are eternal, we never die as souls. The body goes through its changes, just like changing a costume, yeah? The body is like a costume, but the soul is permanently, it never, never dies. So, remembering this being who has such respect for all souls, but according according to the time, because he's so knowledgeful. He's using souls in female bodies because the males have got their chances in the past. They've been rulers of, you know, spiritual things or churches. Now it's a period for females, for them to get a time, and it's wonderful. So all the best. Remember the divine, because when you experience this being, it's the sweetest experience of all. All right? All the best to all of you, and Om Shanti.
Thank you so much, Sister Gita. That was lovely. You took us totally up there into the world of light and beauty. Everyone, I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same. Raise your vibration so high and your light so high that others around you are going to want to feel like, I need to be bright too. Don't forget to get a copy of my new and latest album, Your Inner World Guided Meditations. And so you can go to CD Baby or just visit us on americameditating.org website. Take care, everyone. Here's a little sample of Your Inner World. Have a good one.
Om Shanti. Assalamu alaikum. Wahe Guru. Jai Shri Krishna. Hello. These meditations that I've designed are to take you on a journey of your inner world. And as you enter the many rooms of thoughts, you will enter parts of you that you cherish, maybe regret, love, or might even be afraid of. But it is this inner journey that we must all take to find solutions, clarity, love, power, and freedom. We are in the midst of complex times, and we will need to be honest, clear, strong, and intuitively aligned so we can make decisions that support our goodness and wisdom. The energy of the divine is always with us. And when we consciously invite love, peace, power, and wisdom into our thinking, we offer the return of the image we were made in. Love personified. We all are peaceful, pure, blissful, loving, and wise human beings. Throughout our journey, we got a little tainted. Hence, the attachment to stories slipped in. These meditations, I hope, will enable you to remember how pure you are, how clean your heart is, and how powerfully your life is on this planet. Enjoy, everyone, and thank you so much for choosing these meditations. Take good care of yourself and stay illuminated.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.